Praise the Lord again this morning. Yesterday, we took a little tour in history, how that God created all things, and that each and every soul that is ever going to be facing this earth alive was already created in Christ, or because of Christ, even before the foundation of the world. So that means that you and I and all the souls that are living were already created in Christ before the foundation of the world. Our little theme is about the fourth man that met Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And because of his presence, the three men never was killed by the heat of the stove that was heated up seven times more. The king Nebuchadnezzar was so astonished when he saw it. And when he looked at the fourth man, he says, and it looks like it was a god that was in the fire with them. Of course, when God is protection, when he's protecting the people that he wants to live, he will want to go all the way in his protection. It doesn't matter whether it is water or if it is heat or whatever it, or animals or whatever it is. God will always make sure that his seed and his man or woman will be able to face the problems, the trials, and go through them. Because our days are numbered. And that's a wonderful thing. Of course, we will not know the number of our days, but God knows them. So therefore, he preserves each and every soul for the destiny and the purpose that he has on earth. So the fourth man, of course, when we look at the masses of people that believe in the Trinity, we will find out that they will very often put Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, whenever there is shown a character that looks like a god, they'll say, here you see Jesus. And of course, Jesus Christ is in the mind of God. But he's not having a living existence in the Old Testament. So the first 4,000 years, when God is displaying a supernatural power, he is using his angelic world. You even have the same thing in Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. If you read the 18th chapter, you will find out that the father of faith, Abraham, a good man and a devoted man to God. Of course, God spoke to him in Mesopotamia and told him that he would give him a land. If he would walk with him, he would bless him and he would bless all nations in and through him. And Abraham, when he heard the voice of God, he listened and he obeyed and started his journey. And then in the 18th chapter, we're not going to tell the whole story about Abraham, but here in verse 1 it says, and Jehovah appeared unto him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood over against him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the earth and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And now a little water, let thou a little water be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch some morsel of bread, strengthen your hearts, after that you shall pass on, for as much as you have come to your servant. So here we read about a story that three men are coming up to him. And when he sees them, of course, we have also the story of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he saw two men coming up to the city. And as soon as Lot saw them, he noticed there was something special about them. And here, when Abraham saw them, it is also something special about them. So those spiritual men, because Lot was also a spiritual man, but Abraham, he was favored by God because he dealt and lived before God in a supernatural way and was really God's friend. And when Abraham saw him, one of them was the Lord. Well, who is then the Lord? We looked at Gideon, and we saw how that he was talking to the Lord. And on, when we read about Daniel, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, we don't read in that story that the three men talked to the fourth. It was the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar, who saw the fourth man. So they all saw the Lord. But who is the Lord in these settings? You also have another story about Abraham, when he comes back after having rescued Lot from the kings that stole and took the families and went away from Sodom. And Abraham took after the kings and was able to rescue Lot and the family and the rest of the folk and brought them back to Sodom again, or on the way to Sodom. And here, on the way to Sodom, there was a certain man coming out from Salem, and it was Melchizedek. And you may wonder, who is that man, that priest? Because you never read about him earlier, and you never really read about him later, other than he met one time Abraham. So who is Melchizedek? Well, they're all a representation of the creation of God, because before he put man on earth, God created angels. And how many angels are there? Now, the Bible talks about a couple of 100 million angels in one story, but to me, God created all the angels that would ever be needed for the service of the mankind that later on would be placed on earth. So therefore, there may be hundreds or millions or billions. To us, it isn't that important to know exactly the numbers. But out from all the angels that God created, he had some lead angels. Well, we know about Michael. We know about Gabriel. They're mentioned in the Bible. And they are captains of the Lord's army. And therefore, those are numbered and they're used and they're named. But then, whoever God put there before Gideon, and whoever he put there in the fire, the fourth man in the fire, they are all a representative of the created angels that God are using in assistance of the ones who are going to be heir of salvation. So here, when we read about Abraham, we read that the Lord spoke to Abraham. Jehovah said to Abraham. So here, Abraham is talking to a spiritual angel. And of course, if you like to put Jesus the Christ as a pre-existing figure that shows up in the Old Testament at different times, then you will not really see the right perspective of God's purpose. I know that Jesus Christ is shown in the Old Testament because all the prophets who are testifying of Jesus Christ, let me take a little scripture in Revelation just to remind us. In Revelation chapter 19, John the Apostle, he has now seen the most of the book of Revelation in his mind, and he has now been looking at so many different scenes of what is going to happen prophetically. And the one that are leading him and talking to him is really an angel of God. And when you read in chapter 19, verse 10, here it says, "And I fell down before his feet to worship him." So here John is so overwhelmed by all what he had seen, that the angelic power that was leading him and showing him all these things, John wondered and was so amazed that he fell down before his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, "See, though do it not, I am a fellow servant with thee and with thy brethren that hold the testimony of Jesus." Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's a little tricky verse in the Bible. Well, we know that the angel that spoke to John was not Jesus Christ. Even when you read in the beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus is portraying himself to him. But it is not Jesus that are leading him through all the prophecies. So the angelic being that is with John here, he is a representation of Jesus Christ, but is not Jesus Christ himself. So therefore, when he says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy," what is that? What does that mean? Well, simply, when God started to show the redemptive power that he has already, before the foundation of the world, set up Jesus Christ as the main power that is going to bring people back to God. So in the Old Testament, when he shows himself, he and are going to explain what is going to happen at Calvary. Then in a prophetic way, God shows Jesus Christ to the prophets. Of course, how can a prophet see Jesus Christ if he's not yet born and doesn't have a pre-existence walking around in heaven before Bethlehem? Well, it is actually very simple. God can put up the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus is going to do is already prefigured out in the mind of God. So therefore, he take bits and pieces of Jesus' life and he portrays it back to the prophets so that they can see that Jesus is going to be born by a virgin, and all the power that is invested in him, he shows that to the prophets so that they can be a foreteller of the coming of the Messiah. So they actually see Jesus Christ, but not because he is a living being at the time they are living, but they are seeing it in a prophetic way. So they see in the future what Jesus is going to do, and then they testify about it. That's why you can look at this and say that what we say here, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the spirit of prophecy testifies of Jesus Christ and what he's going to do. And when Jesus Christ then finally came on earth and started his work, then all the men, the spiritual men that had a desire to know about salvation, about the Messiah, when they saw Jesus Christ in action, their mind would be brought back to the days of the prophets that they had already read about for hundreds of years. And they will see what Jesus is doing back in the days of the Old Testament, because they saw him the way he was going to portray it. So therefore, when they were reminded of what Jesus was prophesied to do, and when they saw Jesus Christ doing it, it clicked for them and said, aha, that's the one, that's the man. So therefore, Jesus would never have a pre-existence in the Old Testament. And the fourth man that we read about then is an angel of the Lord. He is an angel of the Lord that comes to Abraham, to Gideon, and to all the others that we read about. And no, he came to the three men in the fire, an angelic power, and Melchizedek. Who is that? It's an angel of the Lord portrayed as a man. Because when you read the story about Abraham, and it said there in Abraham's life, he saw three men coming, and one of them was the Lord. Okay, so angels can portray themselves as men and show and speak in the name of the Lord. And before we end this today, we have the gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament. And the gifts of the Spirit, when it comes to utterance, whether it is power, if it is healing, if it is miracles, if it is prophecy, if it is tongues and interpretation, whether it is wisdom and knowledge, when that gift is in operation, it goes through normal brothers and sisters, just human beings who God takes control over and utters the gifts of the Spirit through their lives. So when they speak, it is actually God who speaks through them. But you don't look at the men as God. You just recognize the Spirit in which it is said. And when it is spoken, you can register it and combine it with the scriptures of the Bible, and then you will find out if this is God or not. Because it always says, try the spirits to see if they are of God. Okay, God bless you now. And we will finalize this tomorrow, hopefully. And may thy spirit and thy life have a glorious day. God bless you. Amen.